Thinking Liberty, episode 15.
Welcome to Thinking Liberty, the podcast that explores lifestyles of freedom-minded individuals. Join us as we discuss work, hobbies, health, learning, and more while living a travel-orientated lifestyle. Be curious, be open, be inspired, be free. And now, here are your hosts, Zach and Sarah Varnell.
Hey everybody, welcome to Thinking Liberty, episode 15. We're coming to you here from our mobile studio in Rochester, Massachusetts. As always, I'm Zach.
And I'm Sarah. And this is actually our first day here in Massachusetts. We just left this morning. It's been kind of a long day. It feels like we got here yesterday.
Yeah.
We had our last week in Rhode Island last week, and we really enjoyed it. It's definitely on our list of places to go back to. I don't know if we mentioned how much we loved the RV park we were at, but it was amazing. I mean, there was a little dog park within walking distance, and we took Ollie there pretty much every day, and it was really good for him to run around and socialize with other dogs.
Yeah, I feel a little bad because we spent so much time on episode 13 talking about this RV park in Connecticut that we didn't like. And then episode 14, we was like, oh yeah, this park's nice. It's like, that's all the attention we gave to it. But
well, I mean, to be fair, we weren't really trying to bash the other park. We were more just trying to give like tips for how to find good parks.
And that's true. But that park did drive me crazy, and I just really wanted to get some stuff off my chest. So that worked.
Yeah, you know, whatever works. But this park really was amazing. What was it called? Melville Ponds Campground.
Yeah, we'll
just go ahead and give it a shout out. It was really nice, and we really enjoyed our time there. And now we're at Gateway to Cape Cod, and it's really nice too. It doesn't have a dog park, which, you know, that's okay. But it was kind of funny. We were driving in, and there was a giant pothole, and Zach was like, oh my gosh, one star! But we were joking because of how other people are about their reviews.
Yeah, especially on the site. I do like rvparkreviews.com. People on there seem so fickle. Like, if there's a pothole in the road, you know, 3 miles down, they're going to give the RV park a one star for that because they ran straight into it or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to weed through the reviews, but it's still good. But it was funny. But it is a really nice park. It's very wooded. We're pretty shaded.
Yeah, it's going to be great, too, because it's going to be a little hotter here in Massachusetts than it was in Rhode Island.
No, I think I'm still in denial.
Yeah, it's going to be a little hotter, but we're surrounded by trees, so we're going to be in shade. When in Rhode Island, we were directly in the sun. So I don't think we're going to feel the difference while we're inside at all.
Yeah. And yeah, if you're traveling and you're looking for a good campground to go with your family, this park has tons of family events. It's kind of crazy looking at the list of events that they have. It's like, I feel like, are we at the right park? Are we not supposed to be here without a family? Like,
we're not fun enough for this park, I think. We came in from the store today getting some groceries and stuff, and we pull up, and there's basically like a little rave going on.
It was like a little dance party.
I was about to say
music.
A kid's version of a rave. And it was mainly kids and teenagers, but they had, you know, a DJ. They had
playing Sweet Caroline.
Yeah, well, they played other stuff. But that was funny. They had glow sticks and lasers and all that good stuff going on. It looked like a lot of fun that we're way too old for. So.
Yeah, we're kind of crotchety old grumps, like, perp down.
Yeah.
But no, it's fun. Yeah, so we're really looking forward to our time in Massachusetts. It's going to be kind of crazy. I mean, we have a crazy schedule the next few weeks. Tomorrow, actually, we're driving into New Hampshire with just the car. We're leaving the RV because Zach has to be on site for work for a client. So we're driving to New Hampshire for a couple days. And since it's only an hour and a half away, we just figured that myself and Ollie might as well go with him. So we're doing that. And then when we come back, we are pretty much, we've got like a week, and then we'll be flying to Atlanta because I have to be on site for a client, and then we're staying for DragonCon, which we're pretty excited about. We kind of decided to go last minute, so we've been kind of doing some last minute costume plans.
Yeah, and anybody not familiar with DragonCon, do yourself a favor and look that up. Look up, you know, pictures and videos. It's like Comic-Con, but it happens in Atlanta, and I think it's way more social, sort of party-oriented.
Ooh, we'll have to link to it in the show notes, and we'll also have to link to that video, The Last Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah, that's so funny.
That's so funny. Yeah, we'll have to link to that, too.
Hopefully everybody else finds it funny, too, or we're just going to end up looking like huge dorks. But yeah, so that'll be at thinkingliberty.com/15. That'll be these show notes. But yeah, we love Dragon Con. We were really sad last year that we missed it. And it's a great reunion for a bunch of our friends, too. Like, we get to go back in town and see
we'll catch up with a lot of people.
Yeah, see the people from Atlanta, and we have our friends from Texas come in, which I think only one lives in Texas still. But friends from all over come in, and it's just great. And I don't know, like I said, there's nothing like it. You almost have to go there to experience it. And if you have, you know, some sort of conception of what Comic-Con's like, just make it way more social and way more of a party, fun atmosphere, and that's probably Dragon Con.
More costumes, I'd say, too, probably. But yeah, so we're doing that, and then we'll come back into Massachusetts, and then we'll be there for a little bit longer, and then we're driving into Maine, but then almost as soon as we get into Maine, I'm flying back to Atlanta for work again, and then...
Which that one's going to be really quick, like you're basically... Turning and burning.
I'm going to try to turn and burn. Yeah. I'm going to be so tired, but it'll be okay. Because
you don't want to miss out on Maine.
Yes, I definitely don't want to miss out on Maine. We're really looking forward to that part of our trip. And I'm really just going to give a training. It's one day, so I'm just going to try to go there and get out.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun. And then potentially, a coworker and I have submitted to a couple of security-focused conferences. So if our abstracts get accepted, then we'll be traveling a couple more times for that. So
yeah, after you do all the work of creating a slide deck and a talk and all this from nothing, because you just submitted the abstract, don't really have this prepared yet, but...
Yeah.
Not that it's your fault. You just learned about this.
For those of you that have never worked for a small company, you might not know how things work sometimes, but we have a lot of clients for being as small as we are. And it's really fun because you get to experience a lot of different areas and a lot of different topics. And you're just learning all the time and you're engaging all the time. And so it's really challenging and quick paced. So sometimes, you know, you all get caught up in different things and you forget about things that you really, you know, think are important. So that happened to my boss. He wanted us to submit for a conference and he forgot about it until the day, the last day for submissions. So in the morning he messages me and my coworker and is like, "Hey, we need to talk real quick. I want you guys to submit for this." So literally we spent like all afternoon working on an idea and creating an abstract and submitting it. So, but I think it's really interesting and I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I think everybody who works in a busy sort of environment like that has a someday maybe list. And that was on his someday maybe list. Like, oh, I'll get to this when I get to this. And then he takes a look at it and like, oh, whoa, that's today. Let's hand this off to Sarah. And she did. She came through, and everything's submitted, and I think she'll get accepted and end up in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, we've already gotten some feedback from the conference back. They were asking us a couple more questions, so I think that's a good sign. So
yeah, you're at least being considered rather than, you know, automatically sent to the spam folder or something.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, so that's what our next few weeks kind of look like, and I guess next couple of months look like. But we're going to try to squeeze as much Massachusetts in as possible. We're going to be here for 4 weeks, but since we're traveling back and forth a lot, we definitely won't have nearly that much time. So today even, we don't always get out on the same day that we arrive somewhere, but it was only like an hour drive today.
Yeah, less than that. Maybe an hour all the way there and all the way back was an hour. But we drove maybe 20, 30 minutes to Plymouth just to see this, you know, Plymouth Rock. You got to see the big name, you know, things you learned in elementary school history class. I want to lay eyes on it and see if it really is all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, and it was definitely cool getting to see, you know, where the first pilgrims landed and just, I mean, it was, the history part of it was really cool, but I think I need to definitely start looking stuff up before I go there because my expectations were like miles ahead.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I was thinking, but my brain had like built up this image of this like giant rock hanging off into the bay that you could like walk out on and like overlook and see the ship where the ships would come in or I don't know, something. But it's just this like little piece of rock that's poking up out of the ground. And they do say that it's part of a 4-ton rock that's mostly underground.
They could be lying. Who knows?
Yeah, they could be lying. But it's kind of cool. But they've got it kind of fenced off, and they've built this little pavilion around it, so you can't get super close to it. But it was definitely cool because of the history, but I need to learn to manage my expectations.
Yeah, and I would never not recommend that somebody go and see this for themselves. Like, I'm glad we went and saw it. You know, sometimes I'm glad even when we go and see something and it's disappointing. Because I'm like, well, we learned that for ourselves.
I mean, it wasn't disappointing per se. It was it was just different than what I was expecting. But like I said, you know, the history of it was still really cool. The whole little town's pretty cool, too. We didn't have time. We brought Ollie. So we weren't really able to go into any of the shops or anything. But they've got a lot of really cool shops and gift shops and a lot of really cool restaurants, it looks like. We went into a takeout window that we saw, and this is another reason you should always check reviews first, but it was not good food. It was expensive and not good. And then we took it to a little picnic table that was overlooking like the bay and the ocean. So that was fun. I mean,
it was sustenance. It's what we needed. We just needed fuel for our activities, and we got it. So
yeah, but it was nice to be able to sit and have a little picnic overlooking the water. And,
yeah, and the view made up for the food.
It was peaceful, and yeah, so it was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've definitely got a lot of more Massachusetts activities that we've kind of got planned, and we have some tentative plans, but if anyone listening has been to Massachusetts before and you think, oh, you have to do this or you have to try this, please let us know because we are always open to suggestions.
Or if you're a local to the Rochester and Plymouth and Cape Cod type areas that we're in the vicinity of, let us know what's good and maybe some of the hidden gems of the area. So you can find us on Twitter and Facebook and the contact page on thinkingliberty.com. Just let us know through any of those means. So you can search Thinking Liberty on Facebook and Twitter to find us there. So I think that's it for our update for this week. We'll definitely have more for you soon since we've got such a packed schedule. But I wanted to tell you about this week's interview, or sort of a quasi-interview, is with somebody who's been right under our noses this whole time. Your host, Sarah Varnell. I just wanted everyone to get to know her a little bit more because I think episode 5, don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll put the correct one in the show notes page. But in one episode, I was interviewed by the Renaissance Man on his podcast. And I thought that was a really cool opportunity for, you know, his audience and what audience we had at the time to get to know me. But nobody's really gotten an interview or, you know, any sort of in-depth look at Sarah yet. Not to freak you out. But so I wanted you guys to have a little interview between me and Sarah.
Yeah, and this is kind of interesting because this is the first time that we've started recording with the intro and then just kind of worked our way. So this will be the first time that we've just kind of walked into everything. I guess it's easy because we're both right here and we're both doing the intro. It just makes sense. But it's kind of interesting to switch up the format a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, if we like it, maybe we'll do it again with other guests. I don't know.
Yeah.
But are you going to do the little about me thing that we always do about our guests?
No, I'm going to leave that to you.
No, fine.
You get to tell me what you're all about. So, even though we are doing this basically all in one take, I probably will still do it like a normal episode, and we'll have the cuts in between. So, that's that. Anyway, let's go into our interview with your co-host of Thinking Liberty, Sarah Varnell. All right, Sarah Varnell, welcome to your own show.
Thank you very much.
So I'm going to go ahead and jump in with the question I know everybody's dying to hear.
Uh-oh.
What is it like living in this small RV with me?
You really want me to answer that?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just kidding. I don't know, it's been great so far. I don't know, that's a hard question because it's not really that much different than living with you in a house either.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Let's say it's neutral.
Okay.
No, it's good. We have our, you know, routines, but we also like to change things up. We have fun decorating together and we have fun like picking like artwork together and we cook together. you know, either we're cooking together or I cook and you clean, and so that works out great. Yeah. I don't know, we found a good rhythm, I think. You know, when you live in a small space with somebody else, it would be very easy to always be kind of running over each other or into each other, and it would be easy to get annoyed by that, too, because, you know, we've got this little thin hallway, so, you know, you can't really, you have to make room for each other when you're passing by. But I feel like we found a really good rhythm for that, and we kind of turn it into a joke sometimes, too. I don't know. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. I just wanted to start with that. But let's back up a little bit.
I know.
And for anybody who maybe isn't familiar with Thinking Liberty, maybe this is their first episode, just tell a little bit about what you're doing, how you're able to do it, things like that.
Okay. So my name is Sarah, and I live in a 36-foot RV with my husband and my small dog. He's a Yorkie. His name is Ollie. And we travel around the country in the RV. We go from park to park. We typically stay places about 2 weeks, sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little less. It just really depends on our schedule and when we need to be places. But we typically don't have to be that many places because I work remotely for a small company that's based out of Atlanta. And so that allows me the freedom to kind of work from wherever I have a Wi-Fi signal and good cell service. We really enjoy the outdoors. I like to hike whenever possible. That's one of the things that I look for when I go to a new state is, you know, where's some good hiking trails or walking trails. I really like to go to local coffee shops whenever we're traveling somewhere. And then when we're kind of hanging out in the RV, I read or play video games. And then I also do a little bit of like needlepoint and cross stitch stuff.
Awesome. So you mentioned working remotely. This is a shocker to me. I had no idea about any of this. Tell us more about your job and what it is and how you're able to do it remotely. And why do you not need to be in office?
So I'm an information security consultant, and that is a pretty general term. There's a lot of different things that you could do with your job with that category. But specifically I work in the GRC space, and that's governance, risk, and compliance. So I help companies, make sure that, you know, if they are a company that processes payment, that they're PCI compliant, or if they're a healthcare provider, that they're HIPAA compliant. A lot of companies that are up and starting don't necessarily have good policies, procedures, and standards for which their company, you know, follows. So I help build those out. Maybe, you know, larger companies have a lot of projects going on, so they have to worry about, you know, how they're protecting customer data or associate data. So I'll help people with privacy implications and concerns, just different things like that. So anything that's helping a company strengthen their security posture, that's pretty much what I do. I know there's a lot more, but I can't really think of it right now.
Yeah, you can't give it all away right now. That's the premium course from Sarah.
So. But a lot of it is online. You know, I work with a bunch of different clients, and, you know, some clients are consistent. Like, I've been working with one client for almost 3 years now, and then we have clients where we just work with them, you know, for a couple of months. Like, I had one client where I just did an incident response tabletop exercise for them. So I was working with them for like 2 months, and that was it. So it's just a lot of stuff. You know, I do a lot of like research online, or, you know, hold meetings online. And a lot of companies these days hold a lot of their meetings online anyway. So it doesn't really matter, you know, where you're stationed. I've had people ask me if I was in like the same city they were in, because, you know, sometimes we kind of integrate with our clients. So they assume that I work for that company. So they'll ask if I'm in that same city or a different city. Like, there's no way for them to know.
Yeah, in my experience, people don't even bat an eye when you say no. They're just like, oh, are you in San Francisco too? I'm like, no, I'm in Atlanta. And they're like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and that's typically what I do. I mean, our company is based out of Atlanta. And, you know, for those of you that don't know, Zach and I work for the same company. So it's just easier to say, you know, no, I'm in Atlanta. But it's really fun and it's really interesting. So, you know, we do a lot of emails, and I mean, it's just mostly all online, so it doesn't really need to be in an office. And if I was in an office, I would still be working remotely for the clients. You know, I can't constantly be going on site to every client. I mean, we have clients in Massachusetts, where I am right now, actually. But then we've got clients in Colorado, California, New Hampshire, Vermont. We have clients in Europe. We have clients in, I think, South America now. So, I mean, we're all over the place. So, you know, you can't always have people traveling there. But we do sometimes travel, and then, you know, you're just close to an airport, and you just hop on a plane, or, you know, since we move around so much, sometimes I'm close enough to drive in, so.
Yeah. All right, so what about hobbies and things like that? Tell us what you like to do for fun and what you're able to do while living in an RV, and maybe what you would like to do but aren't able to because of the limited space or limited metered bandwidth on the internet, things like just anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, so that one's kind of a tough one because I feel like I actually have kind of a lot of hobbies for somebody with kind of limited time. One thing that, you know, living remotely and traveling a lot has allowed me to do is hike a lot more. You know, there's always new trails to discover, and it's kind of fun. You know, one goal that I have is to take a hike in all 50 states. So we're working our way through that, and that's been really fun and interesting so far. And it's kind of interesting because you kind of assume that each state, for the most part, will look the same. But I've been on hikes where it looks like you're in a completely different country. Like, there's just so much diversity in nature, and it's just a great thing to experience. And I've really had fun doing that.
We've been on hikes together where it looks like we're on a completely different planet. So, like, I know Arabia Mountain in Atlanta, which isn't even that far from home. It looks like you're on Mars or something. So
yeah, that was great. It was really fun. It was so cold and windy, though, but it was still really fun.
Which I would imagine Mars would be, too. So I like the realism.
Yeah, so that's one thing. You know, I definitely would like to bike more, but that's been a little bit of a challenge just because of space. And then I've been bugging you about kayaks for a while now, but that's also something that we're kind of working out space-wise, and our car is not exactly the sporty car, so we're still kind of figuring that out, but I think I'm wearing you down. So, yeah. And then I like to read a lot. You know, for those of you that do listen every episode, recently we went to the book barn, and I left with like 15 books or something like that. So, you know, that's kind of a different challenge. Some of them are still in the car because, you know, it's finding the space to sit the books, and then, you know, well, do I want to keep the book, or do I need to trade it off now, or save it to trade with my mom? Like, it's just kind of a space thing. And then I'm going to like little crafty things. So I'm always picking up stuff. My aunt is, she kind of showed me a little bit of crocheting, so I'm hoping to start doing that. So today, actually, I bought some yarn to start crocheting a blanket as a first project. And I don't know. So, you know, it's just making sure that I have the space in the room and trying to keep my stuff organized.
All right. So tell us a little bit about the RV journey so far. Like, how long have you been doing this? Where have you been? What were some highlights, maybe some lowlights even? Any challenges? And I especially want to hear, like, what your favorite place has been, if you can even answer that.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually, you know, favorite place is actually a pretty commonly asked question that we get. And that is hard because, you know, you have such great memories going from place to place that sometimes it can be really hard to pick, you know, what's your favorite place. I think typically my answers circle around Hot Springs, Arkansas, and San Antonio, St. Augustine, Florida. You know, typically places where we've been able to be the most active, I think, end up being the most, you know, fun for me. We were in St. Louis and it rained a lot. I think I would have really enjoyed St. Louis a lot more if we'd been able to get out and do more and experience more. So maybe we'll go back there and check that out someday.
I'm sure we will. I know we both want to get out west, and that's the gateway to the Midwest, so we'll have to go through there at some point.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to getting out there, but I wanted to do this New England trip first, so
that's what we're doing. So, you really like St. Augustine. Hot Springs, Arkansas, I know is a very fun and relaxing environment for us. It was just nice to get out and hike in the woods. And it rained a lot there, too, but we liked it because the rain in Hot Springs was beautiful. And just to see the water flowing down the stairs and into the hot springs and the steam rising off of it was so much fun. And then you mentioned San Antonio, which I know is another one of our favorites because one of our good friends was there and we got to hang out with him. And plus, it was just a great city. We were able to bike all over the place and go to the missions and see the Alamo and just walk around and not really have to be tied to our car quite as much as we normally are. So I can definitely get why those are your favorite.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, even though I love being on the road and I love, you know, being mobile and traveling around all the place, there's still a part of me, I'm always like obsessed with, houses. So like everywhere we go, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in love with this house. I want this house, buy this house. And so I always look at cities and places from like a perspective of, you know, would I want to live here? Could I live here? And I don't know, I get attached to things super quickly. So if I love a city, I just kind of fall in love with it and I'm just like, oh, I want to stay here forever. And sometimes there's some things that, you know, kind of wake me up and realize that it wouldn't be a good fit for me. So like San Antonio gets way too hot in the summer and I'm a cold weather person, so that would never work. But you know, like we just left Rhode Island and I loved it there too. We went to the Cliff Walk a couple different times and I just loved walking along there and exploring the different sections of it. And you know, there's the huge mansions, of course, but then there's also a lot of, you know, smaller, more modest homes that are just so adorable. I don't know, so I just kind of love the whole aspect of exploring a city and discovering what makes it unique and different. And
cool. So we know that you have a remote job that allows you to live this sort of lifestyle. Your hobbies seem to align with traveling and you like to be active, be outdoors, and kind of explore new places. But what made you realize that these two things came together and that you could live in an RV? And did you have sort of an aha moment where you're like, oh, you know, we should be living in an RV, we should travel, we should hike all through the United States and see the things we've never really even known about?
Well, this was actually a dream that I'd had since I was five. No. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just kind of snuck up on me. You know, I think it's never really something that I thought that we could do or that I would ever do until we decided to do it. I mean, I think we've touched on this a little bit in the past, but we were actually both, we were living in Atlanta and we were actually in a place where we were thinking about buying a house. And so we started looking at places and at the same time, we had started traveling more and like saving money for travel and talking about, you know, all the things that we wanted to do each year with our vacation time. And at the same time, also talking about how we could try to maximize our weekends. And so Zach had mentioned buying a small camper to travel around in on the weekends and maybe take an extended weekend every now and then. Since we work remotely, let's just leave on a Thursday evening, work Friday, and then, you know, we'll have all weekend. But I don't know. To me, that just kind of sounded really stressful. And I didn't want to have to think about, you know, moving stuff into a small space and like living in a small space for the weekend and then moving back into the house every week. That it just, I don't know, the whole thing was just like super stressful to me. So I was like, well, if we do that, it's going to have to be a bigger, like an actual RV with enough space and comfort. And Zach was like, well, we can't really do both. You know, that's either our down payment for our house or we buy an RV. And so I forget if I jokingly said it or if you jokingly said it, but one of us was like, well, we could just live in the RV.
Pretty sure it was you.
Yeah. But either way,
Should never joke with me.
Yeah, no. Zach did not take it as a joke. So he started researching it, and he started finding that people do actually live full-time in RVs, and that's actually a thing, and, you know, people seem to really enjoy it, and they just travel around, and, oh, here's how we could make the internet work, and so we wouldn't, you know, be sacrificing our jobs, or, you know, I'm obsessed with, like, Doctor Who, so, you know, you'd still be able to watch Doctor Who when it comes on, and I don't know, just all these little things, and he started, like, telling me how we could actually make this work, and I don't know, we just got excited. And so we just decided, all right, we're going to do this. And we talked to our bosses, and he was okay with it. And I don't know, just kind of took off from there. I mean, it kind of took on a life of its own, honestly. Like now, like almost 2 years later, we're sitting here and we're podcasting about traveling. And it's just, I don't know, it's just taken off.
Yeah. So we've gotten into this a little bit already about the small space and having to live with me in this small space.
Having to.
But are there any personal habits you have or you've developed that have made living in this small space and living on the go easier for you?
I think still developing would be the key word there. I mean, you have to... That's a hard question. You have to be kind of flexible in your thinking. You know, like with traveling, a lot of times, you know, you want to get souvenirs and you want to like have mementos of your trip. So you have to be more selective about that. And then I am like really big into books, as I've mentioned, and antiques. I collect Fiesta Ware dishes. So, you know, when we're traveling around, it would be so easy to just pick up so much stuff. So you just kind of have to like calm yourself a little bit. And, you know, think about, you know, what do you really need? What can you live without? You know, what's replaceable? When we were planning on moving into the RV, we had to get rid of a ton of stuff. And that's kind of what we did. We kind of, like, sorted through all of our things. We were like, you know, what's replaceable and what's not replaceable? So some stuff, you know, we packed up and kept. Like a set of china that Zach's mom gave us when we got married. That, you know, her mom had bought. And so we, you know, it's, you know, older and it's sentimental. So we packed that up and we're storing that. You know, some other like antiques and little collectibles that we were both kind of attached to, we packed up. Bigger artwork that wouldn't fit in the RV, that's not replaceable, we packed up. And so you have to kind of think about that day to day when you're out and about too, because it's so easy as human beings. We like to collect stuff and we like to gather stuff, and we're feelers and we're thinkers, and we see stuff and we think, oh my gosh, this is so cool, it would be so useful, or oh my gosh, this is so cool, it would just look so cute there. But you really just have to kind of think about, I mean, I don't know, I don't like to say minimalist because there's some negative connotations with that sometimes too, I think, but you do kind of have to think, you know, more minimally, like, you know, keeping as little stuff as possible, which I think we're still working on a little bit. Being organized would definitely be a bonus. So I'm working on that every day, even 2 years later.
Cool. So sounds like you've learned a lot since starting this journey, and maybe some of the things that you already valued have played a big role in being able to live in a tiny space. So let's get back more into travel. Tell me a little bit about what goals you have as far as travel goes. And let's talk, you know, this year, next year, and just, you know, your whole life, to put that on you. I don't know, like, what are your short-term goals? What do you want to see and do this year? What do you want to see and do in the coming years? And where do you see yourself? You know, do you see yourself doing this basically indefinitely? Do you see yourself traveling, you know, well into the future? Or at some point, is this all going to wind down?
Good questions. I think that I will always be a traveler. I think that the form of it will probably change over time. You know, you don't have to constantly be on the move to be a traveler. I see so many of our friends taking cool trips and they still, you know, have their house or whatever in Atlanta or Chicago or Illinois. So it's not really something that you have to do. So I think, you know, that I'll always be a traveler. But as far as short-term goals for this year, we're doing that right now. I have wanted to do a New England tour for a long time. In fact, the only New England state that I had been to previously was Massachusetts, and that was just for work. So I definitely wanted to hit up all those states, and I've wanted to go to Maine for forever. So I'm excited about that. So that's kind of been my short-term goal for this year. As far as the RV goes, I mean, I think probably indefinitely. I mean, it's just, we've kind of been talking about that a little bit, but as long as it still runs, I don't see a reason to stop yet. There's still so many places that we want to go to and want to see, and it's just nice having the flexibility to just pick up and go. So,
what about travel outside of the RV? Do you see yourself being someone who travels abroad? And have you done any of that so far?
Well, yeah, I mean, we took 2 months off of the RV. We left it at my parents' house, and we went to South America, and we stayed in Argentina some, and then we took our 2 week vacation and went to Chile. So that was really fun, and I definitely think we'll do more of that. We have a family cruise in December that we're going on that'll take us to a couple of little countries. So that'll be fun. And I definitely think, you know, that we'll plan bigger trips. A long-term goal that I have, I really want to, well, we're going to go to the Olympics in Japan in 2020. And I would love to be able to take some time and kind of backpack across Japan a little bit. But we'll kind of have to see where we are when we get there. But that would be a long-term goal, I say.
Yeah, sounds great. So earlier I talked about your favorite places, and you mentioned some really great things. Have there been any especially trying moments in the RV, or maybe times where you thought, you know, this was too hard, or maybe it was all coming to an end, things were just going sideways real fast?
So a couple that we just recently met have a series that they do with their podcast Swept Together, and they're talking about, you know, how their differences kind of complement each other and blend together, and it really makes things work for them. And I think that's one of ours. Things about the RV and our life, like situation, do not stress me out as much as they do you. I'd say, like, I don't know. I think, like, sometimes when things break or go wrong, like, I think you tend to get a little bit more overwhelmed and, like, panicky in the moment. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, you get kind of stressed out, and, like, you don't know how it's going to work out, and you don't know how it's going to get fixed. And I'm just kind of like, it's going to take care of itself. I mean, I know it's not going to take care of itself, but I start looking up, you know, okay, who can we call? You know, what research can we do online? Like, I think I'm just a little bit more laid back and calm about it. So nothing has really been like that stressful or trying for me. Like, I was frustrated. Our fridge broke down, so we didn't have anything cold for a while. And that was frustrating just because I like to cook and I like to be able to, you know, eat at home and not have to always like go to the store every day to pick up what we need right then. And then
cook that
it.
Was actually an easy one for me because I bought a cooler, bought some ice, called a fridge repairman. So.
Yeah, but I mean, it was frustrating, but it wasn't like, It wasn't like super trying. Like, it wasn't, I don't know, it just wasn't that bad. I mean, and then, you know, when the awning, like, had a mind of its own over the slide out, kind of started flopping all over the place.
Yeah, it fell off the RV, basically, but was still hanging on. That one freaked me out.
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of like, you know, we'll get it fixed one way or another. It's going to work out fine.
It didn't help that we were in the middle of a state like we'd really never been to, in the middle of nowhere, so I had no idea what we were going to do, but
yeah,
luckily the kindness of strangers
kind of
helped.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, is that I have a lot of faith in that sort of thing happening. Like, there are so many good people in this world, and, you know, you can almost always count on the fact that somebody's going to be there to help you out. I mean, you have to be able to help yourself at the same time, but, you know, it was, it was just kind of one of those things that I knew that eventually, you know, we'd get the help we needed and we'd get it sorted and we'd get back on the road. And so it wasn't that stressful for me. I mean, it was a little scary, but I don't know. It's just, so I don't really feel like anything's that trying for me. I mean, I can think, like, if a tire blows out on the RV and we wreck, then I'm going to be freaking out a little bit.
If we wreck, but, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I kind of, Zach and I were talking about this. Some things don't faze me, but the possibility of things does sometimes faze me. Like, I'll be talking about, like, worst case scenario, and Zach's like, that's not worst case scenario because that's impossible. Yes. So I always picture that if a tire blows out, we're going to like flip four times and like burst damage the RV.
Yeah. You've been watching too many Michael Bay movies.
Yeah. So those kind of things. But, I don't know. I mean, it's just been overall a great experience. I think that we've learned a lot and that we've grown together. We've learned more about each other. We've learned more about ourselves. So even if, you know, we were to stop tomorrow, which I don't want to, but even if we were, I feel like
we'd be stranded in Massachusetts if we stopped tomorrow.
You know what I mean? Okay. If we went home tomorrow and then stopped, I think that we've learned so much and that we've grown so much that it would still overall be a really positive experience.
All right. Well, I was going to say to end on a high note, but you turned that low note of me asking about worst experiences into something positive. I don't know how you do that. But tell us, maybe, if somebody is listening who's very interested in the RV lifestyle and just travel in general, and they want to make their life more travel-oriented and get out there, see the world, maybe see the United States. Maybe they're interested in RVing specifically, or maybe they're not. What would be your advice to that person to get started in this sort of adventure? And I know we covered this on probably episode 0 where you had advice, but I suspect that you don't remember it, so you're going to have to come up with something new.
Yeah, probably. Maybe it'll be the same thing. I feel like we've probably touched on this a little bit in several episodes, but, you know, if there's something that you want to do or if there's something that you want to do more of, you kind of just have to, like, take that step and do it. You know, life isn't going to change. You have to change it. So, you know, if you want to travel more, you know, if you're stuck in an office job but you want to be remote, you know, just kind of approach your boss and spin it, you know, tell them about the benefit or her. Tell them about the benefits, you know, tell them about, you know, how you could be more productive, but also be honest. You know, if you are not the type of person that could work remotely, you know, then maybe you have to think of a different way. But, you know, be honest and just approach. And the worst thing they can do is say no. And if they say no and it's still something that you definitely want to do, start looking. I mean, there are tons of remote jobs out there. There's actually a couple of websites that are dedicated to helping you find remote work. We'll link to one in the show notes page. You know, so there's so much that you can do if you just kind of start making the steps to do it. You know, and I think that's one of a good friend of ours kind of has that life philosophy. People keep saying someday, one day, you know, this is what I want to do, but then they never do it. So you just have to start doing it. You just have to start choosing it and living it. And you know, what one person's goals or dreams are is not going to be what the next person's goals or dreams are. So at the same time, like, you can't compare your life to somebody else's life. You have to figure out, you know, what your priorities are and then start working towards those and, you know, decide what your goals are and start working towards those. So if you want to travel more, think about how you could make that happen. Think about how you could do that, whether it's by RV or, you know, getting a van. If you're just by yourself, those are perfect ways to do that too. You know, going from Airbnb to Airbnb, that can get a little expensive. We looked into that once. But it's also a good way to travel too.
Depends on where you are too. If you're in South America or Southeast Asia, that's probably cheaper.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you're trying to go through New England, it's definitely going to be more expensive, as we discovered.
Yeah. So, you know, just think about the different ways. I mean, we've talked about train travel. We've talked about getting a job like airline stewardess that is travel. You know, that's your job. So just think about the different ways that are out there and open to you, and start making steps to do it.
Great. I think that's great advice for anybody who wants to start traveling more. And to hit on like two things you said, I know when you said talk to your boss, find out if this is something that they'd be okay with and tell them the benefits of it. Most people are probably like, oh, my boss would never go for that. But we've talked to several people on this podcast and ourselves that have done this, where our boss has kind of surprised us, where we didn't really think there would be a huge deal with our boss, and he was excited about it and a little bit jealous, and said that he wishes he could do the same thing as us, and gave us, you know, the blessing to go do whatever as long as it didn't really affect our work. I know another couple who's RVing, and she works for, I think, a corporation, like a pretty big company, and her boss was okay with it too. And then we talked to Annabelle and Christian last time, where Christian just basically gave his boss, you know, a friendly ultimatum, where he's like, this is what I want to do. I don't want to come into an office, so either be okay with that, or I'm going to have to find somewhere else to work. And they're like, oh yeah, you're great. You've proved yourself. You do whatever you want. So even if you think you could never imagine yourself talking to your boss about that, the chances of it working out are probably greater than you think.
And I think that's key too. I mean, if you, you know, think about that conversation, you know, where the boss was like, yeah, you've proven yourself. I mean, that's kind of part of it, right? Like, you want your boss to trust you to work remotely, then you have to kind of show that you can get your work done under any circumstances. So if you're consistently hitting deadlines, if you're consistently, you know, providing good work in the office, well, then maybe they'll be more okay with it. So, you know, just kind of make sure that your day-to-day priorities line up with your goals, and that you're constantly working towards that. And I mean, there's no telling what you can do. I mean, we've talked to people and met people that are doing crazy, fun, exciting things, and it's all because they're taking the steps and they're making these choices so that their lives allow them to do it.
Yeah, and then the other thing you said was not to compare your life to other people's, and not to compare your travels to other people's. I think that's great too. And we fall into that trap a lot of times when we see people's Instagram perfect lives. And, you know, maybe they seem like they're jet setting all over the world. And you imagine that you can never do that. So you don't really even try. You don't put the first step forward. But that doesn't have to be what you choose. You could choose to just get out more on the weekends. Or you could choose to work, you know, schedule your work for 3 weeks out of the month and then take the last week to go travel, like our guest Steven did. So I think that's great advice too. You know, it's not an all or nothing proposition. You don't have to be vagabonding around the world in order to feel like you're traveling. You can start traveling probably right now in whatever situation you're in and just work towards a situation that allows even more travel.
Yeah, and I mean, we're always looking at different ways that, you know, we can travel more and do more things and experience more things. But at the same time, I mean, the life that we're living right now is pretty fantastic. So it's just, you know, one of those things where you just have to kind of like look at your life and look where you were a few years ago. And if you're not happy with the changes and you're not happy with the difference, then change something, you know? It's, and I've had this discussion with one of my friends before where it's just like people love to make excuses that they don't have the money, they don't have the resources, or they have a family and they can't do it. But honestly, I mean, looking at, you know, your brother and his family, like, they make the most out of everything. Like, they are traveling a lot, and they have 3 kids. And they got married really young. So, you know, you'd think that they would be kind of stuck in one place and not be able to do that much. But they get out there, they travel, they experience, they set priorities, they set goals, and then they reach them. So they're always doing cool things and traveling, and even though they've got 3 kids and that can be rough traveling with children, you know, they do it and their children enjoy it and they enjoy it and they get a lot of good family time in. So no matter like who you are or where you are, you know, you can make your priorities and then follow them.
Yeah, and that's really one of the goals I know we set for this podcast, is we want to smash those preconceived notions of you can't travel if you don't have the money. You can't travel if you have a family. You have to be single. And you can't travel if you have a job because you don't have the time. We're talking to people all the time that have families, have jobs, and aren't rich, and they're still able to travel and live very fulfilling lives, seeing things they never really dreamed of seeing. And we're looking to, you know, interview even more of those type of people, people who are currently traveling with kids, people who are shoestringing it and getting along with, you know, little to no money at times, and then people who are balancing a full-time job like we are. So yeah, I agree with you 100% there. I think there are, you know, maybe very few circumstances that would not allow you to travel. And most people could start where they are and then work towards being able to do it even more. So, thanks so much for this interview and your own podcast. So, tell us how people can connect with you. Do you have a podcast, per se, maybe that you want to plug?
Other than this one, no. So Zach and I release a weekly podcast.
You're listening to it right now.
Yep. So you're already on the right track.
You're already here, actually. I don't know what else to tell you, actually.
Yeah. So we have a Facebook. It's at ListenTL, and a Twitter at ListenTL as well. And then I have an Instagram, Next Stop Everywhere, and
Next Stop Everywhere _ SV, as in Sarah Varnell.
Yeah. So I post a lot of pictures of our travels on there. So that's pretty fun.
So thinkingliberty.com/15 are these show notes. Facebook.com/ListenTL or search Thinking Liberty on there. I already went through Facebook. Yeah. Twitter. At ListenTL. I'm plugging way too much stuff right now. I should stick to like one thing.
Well, I already plugged it, so you're good to go. Just keep rolling.
I'm reiterating. You have to do this like 7 times.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Like every time.
Yeah. And then check out Sarah's Instagram. It's great. And her name on there is NextStopEverywhere_SV. So thanks so much for the interview. This was great. Your answers even surprised me a little bit. No kidding. Some of them I did know. Some of them I didn't. So I think it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, this was definitely interesting for me. I don't know. It feels a little weird, but, you know, we'll just move along. But if anyone has any questions about anything that we've talked about today, or, you know, you're sitting at home and you're thinking, you know, well, I would love to travel more, but I'm really not sure how. If you have some questions about traveling or anything that you'd like us to address in future episodes, please send them our way. You can email us. There's a contact page on our website, thinkingliberty.com. We're always happy to get feedback, and we're always happy to get questions. So reach out.
Well, that's it for next week. Well, that's it for this week. Jeez, I need to end this episode right now. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Thinking Liberty. Subscribe to the show for free on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher at thinkingliberty.com. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, articles by Zach and Sarah, and more. We'll see you next time.